Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. We're back. It's Monday, June 12th. Not a very significant 12th. Date unless you have a birthday today.
Happy birthday if it's that.
Yes. No holiday or anything today.
I don't think so. Yes. Maybe like full moon or some, I don't know.
Whatever. Let's celebrate beautiful weather in LA this morning.
Yes.
What can we say? You know, it was cloudy over the weekend, which sort of like made traveling not such an appetizing thing or an appealing thing, let's say. So I didn't. I didn't go anywhere.
That's
yeah.
Funny.
But so how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Yeah. Did you have a nice weekend?
Yeah, I went to Pride Parade.
You went to Pride Parade as a supporter, right?
Yes, as a huge supporter, and I was rainbow glittered, and I was all colorful and happy, and it was great. It was great because there's never any. There's no like violence.
It's great.
It's
time.
Just never violent.
Right.
Yeah. It's just a really good group of people that are expressing themselves that are really happy. And there's police everywhere and cops everywhere. And everyone's giving hugs and high fives. And it's like,
right.
It's the happiest protest ever, even though it's not like a protest. It's like a parade. But
right.
It was great. It was so much fun. There was, yeah, a lot of glitter, a lot of glitter, a lot of rainbows.
Yeah. I mean, gay people know how to have fun, you know, and be colorful and creative.
I'll tell you
stuff,
this.
You know?
I was talking to my husband about this. The gay community and the leaders within that movement really know how to organize. Mm-hmm. That's what they know how to do. I have never seen a cause go from we don't want same-sex marriage to the Supreme Court allowing it within a span of about 5 years. The grassroots movement of the gay community has I don't think you can beat it with anything.
Right. I mean, it has been very effective in the past few
extremely.
Years.
Extremely. From Bill Clinton, don't ask, don't tell, to Obama having the same Supreme Court saying same-sex marriage is legal. This is an incredible change within a very short amount of time. And that is credit to those grassroots movements.
Yeah. Well, I think it's about time. You know, I think it is about time. They've been fighting for a long time.
Yeah.
So now I understand it goes like this. LGBTQIA.
Yeah. Okay. So I only know up to the I.
Okay. So Q is what? Queer?
Well, I thought it was queer. And then my friend said it was questioning.
Really?
I'm like, wait, hold up. Yeah. And then there's an I.
For intersex. I think.
Okay, and the A is just for like alive. I don't know. There's so many letters.
I know, maybe asexual or something.
Yeah, sure. I mean,
okay,
I think
so they identify.
I mean, I think
someone.
LGBTQ is what I've stopped at only because I can't.
I know now.
Can I buy a vowel?
They keep adding letters.
Yeah,
you know?
It's too many. So,
but and what's I mean, if Q is queer, what's queer? You know, I don't know.
Queer can be also when you're questioning. Like I asked my friends at the Pride Parade, and they were like, queer can be a term that they accept onto themselves, or also if you're somewhat on the spectrum.
Mm.
So the whole idea is any letter is welcome. We are inclusive of everyone, and that's the point.
Yeah, and that's the point, really. You know, I mean, the thing is that I think they have a difficult life on the average enough without. Without having to deal with this, you know, being on the fringes of society or something.
Right. You know? And they are forefront. They're in it's just fantastic the way they've moved their movement forward. You wish for any kind of thing like, you know, the Jews in Israel or the Black Lives Matter, you wish for them the same kind of community organization because it was the impetus that changed the whole political aspect of the LGBT community has been probably the most forwarding force that you've seen as a community organizer. They're just the best at it.
Right, No, I mean, the thing is this.
Like, you wish the environment had one of those, like, groups of people.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the thing is that when you look at what other societies do to gays, like throw them off buildings and shit like that, it's not acceptable. It's not acceptable. And people don't understand that these are human lives, you know? These are human beings. Often they contribute so much to society, so then people just go in and murder.
Yeah.
For what reason? Just because they're not like you?
Humans are dumb. Sometimes humans are dumb.
Some.
Yeah.
Some
humans are dumb.
Some are very smart. I'm very proud of what humanity has accomplished.
I agree.
You know? I really am.
Yeah, that's just some of us aren't there.
No.
Exactly.
No, well, look, we're, 8 billion people?
Yeah.
Not everybody's going to move at the same pace.
That's
you
right.
Know? Yeah. You know what they're saying is 1/3 of the world is now overweight. Did you hear about that one?
I'm so worried the Earth is going to like fall because we're also
right.
getting heavier.
Right.
I don't think that's how it works because of some gravitational orbit thing. But, man,
no,
you go.
The Earth doesn't fall. Yeah,
I'm just worried because we're all getting fatter, I feel like.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Heavier. I mean, 1/3,
yeah.
That's more than 2 billion people.
Yeah. And if you think again, what do we always say? We're turning into robots. And the thing is, we're more sedentary. We don't move as much. I mean, we used to come from Neanderthals where all they did was move.
Exactly. And
yeah.
And that's it. So they could eat. But now, I mean, and you know what the most amazing thing is? I mean, I understand that the U.S. is leading with obesity.
I can see that.
But number two is China. And you wouldn't expect the Chinese to be obese because they eat well. They move a lot.
But remember, China's also become very Americanized.
Exactly.
With McDonald's
and Westernized.
Very much so, yeah.
Exactly. And that's what they're taking on also is our eating habits.
Yeah.
And that's amazing to me. But yeah, you know, and many people die because of it. And, you know, they're saying almost there's 4 million people dying every year because of their weight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. You go to when you go to Europe, it's different. It's just bizarre. You go to a mall and it's just like everyone is just thinner. It's
they
weird.
Walk a lot.
Yeah, including my family, including like everyone in my. I mean, it's just a different culture and the
right different
the
food
and the food intake is slower and the metabolism is a little bit. It's more walking and
right,
so
right.
You know you worry because things now like Postmates and Target and drive-throughs. It's like there's no walking anywhere. You know
that's true and that's exactly what happens. That's why working out is more important than ever.
I
these
know,
days,
but man,
you know?
Does it suck?
I know, ugh. Man. The most boring thing you can
good
think
God.
Of. You know? I envy people that really like it.
The runner's high. I'm putting on air quotes and rolling my eyes.
Right.
How come I'm not getting a high? I'm getting sweaty and a cramp and I'm cursing. That's what I'm getting. I don't understand the high. When does that come?
Well, maybe you forgot your joint at home. Maybe that's what they're talking about.
Are you supposed
about.
To include that?
When you're running? No.
I was
but
so
I'm
uninformed.
Kidding.
No,
oh,
kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm kidding. No, I've never gotten a euphoric thing from...
I know, neither have I.
And I was like an athlete growing up. I was like a lacrosse
really?
Player and a...
Wow.
Yeah. Baseball, softball player, but I was like this.
But running is boring.
I mean, what are you doing?
Yeah, but you know what? Biking is nice. Biking is very nice.
Turns out I don't have such good balance.
Really?
I bought a bike when I first moved to LA. It was so cute, like mint green, like a bike, you know, like a day runner from like a bike, beach bike.
Okay.
I rode it once in LA and I sold it the next day. I was like, oh no. This is a car town.
Yeah, no, but you go in places where there's no cars, like the beach.
I know.
Parks.
I know.
You know. Yeah, I mean, look at me. They have like bike lanes here, and I'm still scared to death.
Forget it.
To use those.
Why would you?
Right, you know, somebody
bike
texts,
lanes.
They veer off just a little bit, bam, you're gone.
Yeah. That's just like double dare you to go in the bike lane.
Exactly.
I totally
so
agree.
Now what they did is they've turned the entire right lane into a bike lane as well. In other words, if there's a bike riding in front of you, you can't really do anything
right.
other than just follow them.
That's right.
So how smart is that now? I mean, is that like overdoing it?
No, because, I mean, I think we're trying to promote bicycles because
I know,
of the environment.
I know, but how do you promote it when you create such a big traffic jam behind somebody who's
it's
riding
really
a bicycle?
It's really bad, too, because I'm like, oh, look, that person's biking. Good for them. What the hell? Hurry
right.
up.
I know. You know, that's what happens.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about other places that permit... bikers and everything and walkers and pedestrians.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's where I
with
should
our
move
guests.
To.
Yeah,
exactly.
We don't quite live in the place where walking is really common, and that's why freeways are so full of cars, you know?
Yeah, well, let's all move to where we're talking about with our guest today.
Yeah, okay, we will. We will all move there.
Okay.
But, no, just a moment. This wasn't a sign for you to come in just yet. No, because she was saying we should move, and you'll find out where he's from, and you'll see you want to move there, too. All I wanted to bring up is the fact that Melania Trump has moved into the White House.
Yeah, whoopee.
At last. How many months later? Six
I don't
months?
She is just over that relationship. There's a funny, not funny, but there is like a, the word in D.C. Like I mean, I'm from there, and so I get word from.
So you
D.C.
know,
I really know. No,
you have your sources.
I do have. I really do have sources. They're like my high school friends. I used to get high within the alley. Now they're all lobbyists and like working in the White House.
Wow.
That she has been seeing this the head of security for Tiffany's for like 10 years, mm-hmm. and there's a contract between she and Donald, and that if he hadn't won. They would have gotten divorced, and if he did, she'd stay. But remember that, so she's been dating this head of security at Tiffany's, which is in Trump Tower, which is why she wanted to stay for a long time. Apparently,
that's a story about Melania?
Oh, yeah. This is the, it was all over Twitter. It wasn't me that's breaking this news. It was all over Twitter. It was about a week
news?
Ago.
Maybe it's fake news, or is it true?
Well,
do we know?
I'm just bringing up the word in the street. Okay. I happen to believe this this source very well on Twitter. But she gave, if you guys remember, Michelle Obama a gift when they first arrived at the White House, and it was a Tiffany's gift. And I think that's so funny. If that's true, I'm like, nicely done. No, I mean, she deserves, I would feel bad for anyone with Donald Trump. He looks like a real, not, he doesn't seem to wait for her. He doesn't seem to be very warm with her. He just seems to be, I mean, the famous photograph is when they arrived and met the Obamas for the transfer of powers. He walked straight into the White House, and the Obamas both put a hand on the back of Melania and ushered her in because they have manners.
Right.
And they let her go first. And it was just, he was like, on my turn. I'm six. Anyway. So you see him always in front of her. So it's just, I'd feel bad. I mean, he's not a very chivalrous dude.
I know. Also, one more important thing is we've been talking about stores closing, and now Gymboree. Did you grow up with Gymboree? Do you remember it in
like
the malls? It's like for little kids. You go in, you play around there. They have all kinds of toys.
It's like got to be filled with germs, right?
And no, not really. And clothes and stuff like that for kids. It was all colorful, reds and yellows.
So it's going?
Yeah, it's going. That Gymboree. One. Also, Ann Taylor.
What?
Yes, Ann
yeah,
Taylor's
Yeah, it's a little
down.
Too prime.
Lane Bryant, Loft.
Really?
Yes.
All going. I bet they're all under the same group.
Probably, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, exactly. They're all under the same retail group.
Yeah, so, you know, in 5 years, they say malls won't be around.
Exactly. What are they going to do? Already they're like half dead.
Yeah, when I go, I am the only person in some tumbleweeds.
Right.
Like, the mall is just empty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we'll pay the price. I mean, we chose to be with Amazon, so there you go.
I was
going to
say, remember, we're not walking. Malls, at least, we're walking around.
Exactly.
Now we're just sitting at home hitting Amazon.
At home, exactly.
Yeah,
and there's
true.
Nothing to, nowhere to take the kids to or anything anymore, you know?
Take the kids to cyberspace. They're
right.
fine.
No, yeah. Anyway, folks, we're going to go into more positive and cheerful things. We're joined by Mark Lipps. He's
Woo-hoo!
The president and CEO of the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. Mark, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I got to tell you, it's been great listening to you guys because, first of all, I didn't know that about Melania.
Yeah.
So I am going to spread that
one. Yeah, there you go.
Crazy.
That's exactly what you want to do, right?
And, and tell them I heard it here first.
Thank you. Thank you.
As for running that high, me too. I mean, they talk about, I know guys who've been running for 100 years, and it's like they talk about this like,
Euphoria.
And I'm
right.
going, my gosh, I get out there, man, and it's like, I am
it's
struggling.
Hard.
It's horrible.
It's like a mental game with me.
Yeah.
I mean, you just get to the top of the hill.
Yeah.
And
right.
then I'm going to stop. You know, I mean, you have to like every, oh, I can make it to that tree. And then I'll
right.
stop. I mean, it's like a whole mental thing. And
yeah.
then.
It's right. exhausting.
And then,
but if we were moving around constantly, we wouldn't have to do that. You
if,
know?
Okay. So there brings me to good. The mall. Now, here's what I think is going to happen with the malls.
Yes.
The malls, just like everything else, they're going to evolve. Okay.
Because
now no one calls them malls anymore,
mm-hmm.
by the way. If you talk to these mall experts, they're saying that whole thing about having anchor tenants and all of that, that's going to go off to the wayside, and you're going to see all these boutique-y type
shops. Oh, that's cool.
I like
coming that
better. In, and it's going to be more outdoors. It's going to
okay.
be what they call now are calling lifestyle malls.
Right.
Lifestyle.
And that's
at
where
least in California, they're doing
yeah,
like outdoor malls.
Yeah, right. In the dead of winter in Ohio, I don't know.
Yeah.
No,
know,
they
lifestyle
wouldn't be interested
is,
in that.
Yeah,
right.
ski. Then they, but they'll have little concerts, and they have
that's
kid
a great
areas
idea.
And stuff like that. So they create attractions for people to go and gather there. And,
there you
for
go.
A reason. Like, it's interesting. Our mall, our and it's going through a complete renovation
Manhattan
right now.
Beach.
In Manhattan Beach.
Right.
Manhattan Beach, California.
Yes.
Where, what can I say? Where, Where sand goes to die.
Yeah.
Anyway, the
Manhattan Beach, by the way, let's describe where it is in relation to L.A.
Manhattan Beach is part of the South Bay. It's the north end of what is traditionally known as the South Bay cities. You have Manhattan Beach, you have Hermosa, and you have Redondo. Okay. In and around that, you have El Segundo to its north, and you have Torrance.
Right.
And then, of course, some cities east of there. But
Palos
Verdes is further south. But we look at the South Bay as really Redondo,
Manhattan
Beach, and Hermosa.
And Hermosa.
Right.
And there's Manhattan. there's a real, like, if you say I'm from the South Bay, I know immediately you're this laid-back, awesome type
surfer.
Of person. You're just a cool, nice person. Like, I think there's a really good sense of who you are if you live in the South Bay.
Oh, you're so right.
Yeah.
I mean, is it Redondo or Huntington that's Surf City?
Okay, now you're Which really one? Opening the wound.
Okay.
look.
Oh, okay, they're not Manhattan Beach. Okay, so Manhattan Beach is Surf City.
Well, but Manhattan Beach is Surf City.
That's true, I
forgot. I will put our waves in El Porto up against, just that they went ahead
and called it
and
yeah,
called
and
it
got
that
the motto
and stuff
first.
Like that. Yeah,
they branded it. They branded it.
Manhattan Beach, the cool thing about Manhattan Beach is we call it, back in the 70s and 80s, we said it was the up-and-coming beach. Now the people are there. You know, because they've torn down their old houses and built.
Now I can't afford to even go look at a house.
My kids can never move back to their hometown. But our residences go right up to the water. You don't see that with too many other.
I know
beaches.
They have the Strand there,
right?
You know where you walk and you walk and you walk and it's beautiful.
I
mean,
yeah.
The houses there. Tell me something. To have a house there, how much would it cost? I mean, some of those nice houses. I know it varies,
but
the real estate.
All right.
My God.
There are two houses, and this is seven blocks off the beach, in what we call the tree section. There were two 960-square-foot homes.
So tiny.
So tiny.
Very small. Very.
Almost reaches that Facebook tiny home thing.
Yeah.
So, but 960 square feet. Each one. 960 square feet. What's this office?
I don't know.
Probably
but those
that
are
much.
Condos? Like but those are condos,
I mean,
right?
You know,
I don't know. Like, we have over 1,500 or something.
Okay, so this is small. So it's smaller than this.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
960. Each one sold for $1.6 million.
Jesus.
Wow. And those are condos in a building or something?
No.
These are homes.
This
is a little beach
Seven blocks from the beach.
A home that's 950 square feet?
Oh, yeah,
And with a yard and everything. Now they're both torn down by developers.
Of course.
And they're going to build big... it's totally transformed. Another thing about Manhattan Beach, here's some things, really interesting facts, in my opinion, anyway. We have a topless... No, that's the wrong fact. The 2012 study by Beach Cities Health District, we have had a 60% turnover in our population since 2000.
Wow.
So we have all new people.
Yeah.
Very cool.
They say it's death and divorce.
Right.
Seniors and then divorced, you know, and all that. But
they need the ions from the water.
Right.
But I want to know how much the real estate is on the Strand. That's what I'm asking.
Well, it can be anywhere from
five to ten million.
Easily.
I think that's low.
That's probably for a small, right? Yeah, that's for.
I mean, just for an older home.
That's for an older home, Sam. You want to buy an older home?
You got to do some work. Money, my
God. If it's 5 to 10 million, you're gonna have to do some work.
Yeah, you have to remodel or something.
Yeah. But still, I mean, there are beautiful houses there. I'm just looking at the people.
I know. I'm like, how come? Did you rob a bank? Like, can you?
Yeah. How do people make money like that?
So we don't know where they come.
Usually entertainment. I think you can make a lot.
Oh no, a lot of entertainment. A lot of wealth advisors. We have an old friend of mine I competed with when I worked for Mary Tyler Moore and Reicher Entertainment and Syndication, who was the number 8 hire at Facebook.
Oh, wow.
And he lives on the screen.
Yeah, I feel like it's Silicon Tech. Please. It's also a lot of agents. I feel like a lot of people behind the scenes.
Right. We've got volleyball star, volleyball players. We're really a big home for athletes.
Yeah, my problem is I'm too pale and... fluffy to be in Manhattan Beach because everyone is like, hey, and they're just like bronze goddesses, right?
Well, that's the stereotype.
Yeah, I know. I'm kidding.
But everybody's there.
Yeah. But you become a bronze goddess.
I mean, like, if I literally would be like, if I moved there, I would be a bronze goddess.
Right,
yeah, exactly.
Right. We turn you into one.
Exactly.
And Manhattan Beach, I mean, you guys really have a beautiful beach there, right? Mm-hmm. There's a pier. The funny thing is, I got to tell you, I happened to hang out there on election night.
Interesting.
And around the pier. Mm-hmm. And there's all the restaurants and the bars, mm-hmm. right? All I can tell you is this. The moment it became clear that Trump was leading, nobody was watching the TVs anymore.
They just stopped.
It was so quiet in the restaurants, like you wouldn't believe. Yeah. We went outside. Nobody was celebrating nothing. It was so, like, liberal town. So people have to understand that.
Well, you got, I mean, that are down there at the beach, right.
Well, in the area, right? I mean, you're very liberal town.
Well, come on, we're California.
I was saying Southern California. Yeah.
So we kind of lean that direction anyway.
Right.
We're blue like Smurf blue. You know what I mean? We are very Democratic.
So, Mark, let's find out a little bit about you. Were you, like, born and raised in Manhattan Beach?
Nope, I was born in a little farm town in Southern Illinois.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
What town? My mother-in-law.
Mount Vernon.
She's from
Peoria. Our big city
Peoria.
Peoria?
Peoria.
That's central Illinois.
Okay.
And I know Peoria very well.
Yeah.
That's where they used to have a postcard in the Peoria airport, and it was just dark. It was just black. And it said, a night in Peoria.
Yeah, it's like farm town.
Right.
Yeah, she lived on a farm.
I went to school in southern Indiana. Mm-hmm. And
what did you take in school?
Communications and theater.
Oh, nice. I could tell.
So one thing led to another. I decided I better get some work because I had led that bohemian life, L.A. and New York, L.A. and
Oh,
New
did
York.
You really? So had an attraction to L.A., an affinity to come here?
Yeah. Well, I was up in San Francisco, and then I drove down to L.A. I called my parents and said, who do you know here? And I apparently had a second cousin, so I was able to crash at her place for a couple of weeks. Oh. And then I had a fraternity brother who lived in Manhattan Beach. And I'm aging myself. I show you how old I am.
Yeah, but, well,
this was the late 70s.
We're not doing any math here while you're here. Yeah. Go ahead.
But and so I moved in with him on 8th Place. I had the place above the garage, and that was my first love affair with Manhattan Beach.
Wow. Yeah. So even when you start like at a very small place, the location is something that attracted you from the beginning.
Well, first of all, coming out from the Midwest.
Right.
I wanted to feel like I was in California.
Right. And there you feel
you're
like
you're in the postcard. Yeah. You are in a postcard.
Right. Yeah. You know, because I could go to Thousand Oaks. I might as well be back in Illinois, right?
Exactly.
So I felt
Sherman
this
Oaks,
way.
I feel like
I'm in California.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also the moderate temperatures and
the
you
people
still get to wear a jacket occasionally because you're on the beach and so it gets a little chilly.
It's chilly,
sometimes.
But it's
I
better
love
than,
that.
Yeah. It's
love
better
that.
Than the heat we get here. Let me tell you.
Right.
Out here in the valley, it gets very hot.
Yeah,
so,
like,
so and that's why that property is so costly and so pricey because everybody wants to live there.
But that's like that's literally paradise for people.
Right. Well, think about it this way too, from a proximity standpoint, which is interesting because we live right next to that Chevron refinery, and who is a big partner. They were there long before us.
Yeah,
they were there late 1800s.
Really?
Yeah, that's right. It's called El Segundo, the second. That means the second Chevron.
So it was the very second. Oh my God,
it was the very
brilliant.
Second Chevron. And so it's kind of a corporate town, El Segundo. But Chevron donates and contributes as they should when you're that kind of a company. To all of our fundraisers and to all things,
you need
so they're
to be
a
good
great city
in the community.
Yeah, they're a great city. They're a great partner with all of the cities in the South Bay. Even with that Chevron there, we're 10 minutes from the airport, 15 minutes from dropping off at the airport.
That's true. Close
except
to
all this construction that's going on, that makes it a little longer. But when things are really smooth and running, we can jump to the airport in no time. And so we can be in this idyllic setting, get to the airport quick. It's not an hour drive
that's
or 45 minutes or something like that.
Right.
And the schools are great. I will tell you
we have our own schools.
Exactly. My friend who lived in El Segundo, he would call it the Gundo. He's a good friend of mine. And he'd be like, the Gundo is the best. No one knows. The schools are the best. You're right by the airport. I didn't realize the schools were so good.
Yeah.
Wow.
MBUSD, we're our own school district. And so we're only 3.6 square miles.
Yeah.
So we control our schools. We have a lot to say in our schools. Parents are very actively, very involved. And, it's so affluent, you don't want to get sideways with these parents because, they can be in a neighborhood. You've never seen anybody lawyer up like a neighborhood. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Because they all are lawyers or whatever. They're litigators and stuff like that. All of a sudden,
they can afford a
they're
lawyer,
showing up at city council with, like, presentations and, you know, appeals and
objections.
Documents.
Yeah.
And, you know,
wow.
So it's crazy.
Yeah. Manhattan Beach, what a great place. The Chamber of Commerce. So you moved to Manhattan Beach. Mm-hmm. What were you doing? What did you decide to do? Were you doing something already?
Well, no. I've been all over, actually, since that time. So I got into news, and I was a photography reporter back in the Midwest. So I moved back to the Midwest, and after doing my stint in New York and then in L.A., and then back to the Midwest. And then from there, I took over a news operation in Missouri. So I was there for a little while. And then I hooked up with Mary Tyler Moore, their gang, in Chicago. And I based out of Chicago.
Oh, wow.
And sold all the Mary Tyler Moore shows to television stations
That's
all over
awesome.
The country and stuff.
You're gonna make it after
right.
all.
No. So this wasn't shot in Chicago, was it, the show?
No. I was just based there because I was in syndication.
Right,
There's
right.
a reason to call it syndication. But I tripped on airplanes and would sell WKRP
I
and
see,
all these
okay.
to
wow.
the TV wow. stations. You
That's
know,
awesome.
It was like...
That's very cool. WKRP in Cincinnati. Yes.
I used to.
You know that stands for W crap, right?
Yes. I found that out like last year and I'm like, they're brilliant.
Yeah. For me, I think, Tori.
Yeah. I think it might have been you. Great job.
Hey, listen, I worked at a TV station. It was very similar to WKRP, only it wasn't radio, it was TV. I mean, it was family owned station. This was in Missouri. It was crazy. I remember losing my dog one time. The dog just wandered off when I was on a run, mm-hmm. you know, a euphoric run. And so I would close out the newscast. I would say, okay, this is Mark Lips, and that's it for tonight for us. By the way, my Dalmatian is out there running around, has a red bandana on it, and if anybody sees it, please call the newsroom. So we'll see you tonight at 10. And all of a sudden, and I had a map in the newsroom, and all of a sudden people would be calling, Mark, Mr. Lips, I saw your dog. And I'd be putting pins up and following the dog. And we finally, someone said, he's in this construction site right across the street. So we go and we went and got him. And he was there. But
That's
we literally
amazing.
Followed pins. But you couldn't do that in any other TV station or news
department.
Yeah, yeah. That's true, right?
Only at a WKRP could you
Also, my dog Buddy is missing.
Yeah.
Could you let us know where he is?
So it's there are all kinds of things like that. So,
yeah,
that's
very cool.
Anyway, but
so
then from there, I took over. I ran the Reischer office in Dallas, which was our big key show at the time. Keith Samples, I don't know if you guys know him. He produced a lot of movies, worked for Warner Brothers. And he said, well, Lips, you got to come over here. We got Saved by the Bell. You know, and so
I walked out to my wedding to the Saved by the Bell theme song with my husband.
Really?
When you wake up in the yeah. We really like that. He loves that song and that show. Super weird.
Yeah.
So you got involved in entertainment.
Yeah.
And then
from there, I took the job at Fox. And was there for 18 years, Fox Broadcasting here in...
Oh, wow. Doing
that,
what?
So it brought me back to California. I was on the lot at Pico and Motor. I managed all the relationships with the Fox affiliates around the country. So I negotiated their affiliation agreements, made sure they were good affiliates, set policy. We put on the big parties.
That's awesome.
You know, the upfronts and all that stuff.
That's
worked
awesome.
With sales, worked with sports. Worked
wow,
with
how
guys,
very so. Cool is that, man? So you really got into the business and everything. You know what it takes, right? So mm-hmm. you're part of Hollywood. Definitely.
Yeah, well.
But then you decided you don't want to live in Hollywood.
Right. Well, then I got, I took that, you know, pushed into, took that, however you want to put it, early retirement mm-hmm. package. Mm-hmm. And I took the early retirement package. So that was, you know, like 3 or 4 years ago. And I, then that's when you start, you know, speaking of quotes, I always say one of my quotes is, you know, for so many years we do what we're paid to do. But then we do what we're made to do. And you guys are good examples of that. You're doing what you're made to do. You're doing what you're made to do.
Right.
And so that's great examples of that. And that's so now I'm looking at what am I made to do? First of all, I don't want to leave Manhattan Beach. It was a struggle to get over here, by the way.
I'm sure it was.
Like,
but
oh
you
my
know
God,
what?
I'm already itching.
Exactly.
Just,
you like, don't have
like,
to.
Oh, God.
But you find you have everything there.
Yeah.
You don't have to drive as far as here.
Right. Or I can get on my bike.
Yeah.
So it's, and you know, jumped out of airplanes, did cross country trips, did a 135-mile kayak in Louisiana, helped my wife get her catering business really up and off the ground and stuff like that. And
so
now, of course,
busy.
My wife said, I told her I was retiring. She said I was unemployed.
It's a difference of opinion.
Yeah,
don't
it's
you worry.
Semantics.
It's just semantics.
Yeah. But that's boy, right. You do get used to getting up and going, wow, I think I'll take that noon yoga class.
Yeah.
You know, it's
best.
Like, oh my gosh. It's, but. Anyway, so, but then this chamber thing.
Right. So you love the place so much you decided what? You're going to get involved in the chamber?
Well, I've always been involved with the city. I'm on a city commission. I know all the city council people. I volunteer. I'm with Manhattan Beach Rotary.
Why do you do that? Let me ask you this. Most people don't. I'm curious because
he sounds like you always need to be busy.
Yeah.
Well, and so that's seemingly where it started, I think.
Could be. Maybe I like the attention.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's like, I did that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in charge of that. Are you paid? No.
No.
But I'm in charge. You know, let me tell you, to manage volunteers is a whole different story than managing somebody where you can go, but I pay your paycheck.
Exactly. That's different, right?
Because
they can leave at any moment.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, I know.
Or they just don't show up.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
Well,
they have no
like
commitment
it.
To
no.
you.
Right.
Go
but
on.
But they've been rudderless for about a year. Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce, they'd lost their support from the city and all this stuff. It was just really not a great situation. And my wife would always say, you know, the only time I hear from the chamber is when they want a renewal or free food.
Yeah.
And so I said, whatever you guys do, I went and talked to these guys. I said, whatever you do, make sure you get a community guy. Don't hire a chamber guy.
Yeah.
You know, somebody from out in the
And was that in
world.
A meeting you had with them or at a
no,
town
that
hall?
No, that was, you know, just seeing them around,
Got
some
it.
Of the people.
Let them know.
Let them know what I thought. And then I started thinking, you know, I think I want to go for that.
Yeah, what? Now, what
you know
was
what?
The,
I want to do
I
that.
I want to do it. Now, what
and
was
then what was I thinking, you know, because then I'm going, wow. You know, you get in there and you don't know what you don't know, you
That's
know?
That's right.
So, but it's been a blast because I've worked with all the different areas. I mean, MB CERT, I was on the emergency management training program or whatever. The, you know, Leadership Manhattan and, you know, working on commissions of the city and all that. This was working really with the businesses, the small businesses, and trying to help them out, trying to engage with them and make sure that people, you know, keep them healthy and have them working smart,
them.
Supply them with ideas and seminars
and resources.
And workshops.
Because if they succeed, the city succeeds.
Yeah.
And that's the bottom line,
right?
So you help businesses out and not just financially, right? I mean, how else can you get, or maybe not financially at all, right?
Not at all.
No, but at least you can help them, like, find the resources for
money,
right?
Well, for instance,
like the
we did it. We did a seminar, right? We did it. We have a SCORE program where you can sign up and get a free consultation for your business,
right?
And meet on Thursday mornings, and they will help you out and you know, trying to help you get to that next level. If you've got some roadblocks, I mean, these are usually gentlemen who are retired or people who are retired who've bought and sold businesses. They were CEOs and things like that, and so that's a very cool program.
That's a good idea to do, you know, to get somebody to come and help you out if they don't charge you anything,
and totally
they want to help you out.
And also, if I'm a business person, I'm going to be then very interested in moving to a place that's going to supply me with those resources. I mean, that's a very inviting thing to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they, you know, we've got, we did a marketing seminar workshop where we did it over the public library, and I had this lady from Constant Contact come in, and I hope they're a sponsor. But
well,
anyway,
maybe they will be after the show.
Yeah,
they will be now.
But they, she did a whole thing on how to DIY, do it yourself. Video and tips and apps and things you could go to make it happen. She just happened to be for Constant Contact, but she's also a friend. But she was coaching all these small. We had over 100 businesses or over 100 people representing small businesses all over Manhattan Beach, and some out of Manhattan Beach. And they were all there, and she was showing them how to do your own videos and make them look professional. Mm-hmm. One lady took a small business, took that video, or took those notes, went and created her own video, and then sold it.
Wow.
So what a testimonial is that?
Wow.
Huh? So it just shows to show you can do a lot of this stuff yourself, and there are apps and there are things. You just have to know where to go. And so a small business can look and have the engagement factor and the excitability that these larger companies have and have people who are dedicated to do this all day long, but you can do it yourself.
Yeah,
So we try to show people that, how to work smart.
Yeah.
That's very smart.
Awesome, you know, and you can't beat that, you know, because, again, you know, you start, and especially in the beginning, it's hard to stay alive with a new business.
Yeah,
you
especially
know,
so Manhattan Beach is so expensive. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. You know. So that's the thing. I mean, in order to come and open a business there, you need the support. You know. I mean, if you want people to invest there, so I can see what you're doing. Now, so let's jump a little bit to what you're really here to tell us about, and that's the Bite at the Beach. That's an event you guys have upcoming in the summer, August. Tell us a little bit about this. And how this came about, and is this the first year you're doing this?
No.
Really?
This is the first year we're going to do it on the level that we're doing it. We've always done it. It's usually been in June or July. And you guys have probably seen this, too, over the last few years. Man, the craft beer festivals that have popped up. It's like you just, you know, there's a sandwich in every beer. We'd probably all be, if we went to every one of them, we, you know, about 400 pounds overweight.
Yeah.
But the we're going to do it in August. So we're moving it away from all the other festivals. And we're going to have 20 to 30 craft beer breweries, as well as 20 to 30 paired with restaurants.
Oh, that's
so
good.
Each craft brewery will be paired with a local restaurant.
That's cute.
And we will have some wines, and we even got a sushi place that is going to have a sake pairing.
That's good.
So that'll be good. So
a lot of partying.
Yeah, one word, Uber.
Yeah,
No, or maybe Lyft. No,
good call. Yeah.
Either one of them.
Either one of them, and I hope you're sponsored.
Note how we're not even talking about taxi anymore, right?
Yeah, no.
They're still so terrible, you know?
Right.
So, but anyway,
so we'll have that, but it's going to be on the New York street of the Manhattan Beach Studios. You know,
oh, wow.
So their theme,
like the
their theme street, it looks like New York, and we're going to have some really fun stuff. And I really want to turn it into a New York attitude meets West. So I'm going to have this photo wall, for instance, that's going to have the beach at the bottom and the Brooklyn Bridge at the top.
That's cute.
You know, we're going to have I'm going to have buskers. You know, I've got a sax player who's going to be playing a stoop over on one side of the.
You got to have someone screaming at someone else.
Yeah,
from
I'm going to have a rape.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
We're gonna have artists, you know, doing things. We're gonna have in the little alcoves
New
York
like
Street.
Sounds like fun, man.
Yeah. It is just a blast because first of all, it's all local restaurants, so a lot of people from that area will know a lot of these people, and then it's all breweries and there will be like four musicians roaming around and one center stage that just plays who's mic'd and everything. But the one, like, I want a sax sitting on a stoop.
That's great.
In there, and I want to, you know, somebody else down at one another end or something playing and, you know, stuff like that. So, it's
going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's just going to be a fun
right.
time.
And you don't have to live there to come, right? That's the whole point.
No, in fact, it's funny you should mention that, Sam. In fact, what I would like to do is offer anyone who mentions LA Talk Radio. We've already made the change, by the way. We'll see how many. I just want 500,000 of your million listeners.
That's all you want. Yeah. Jeez. I hope you get one.
So what we're going to do is we've already put it up on our Eventbrite site.
Right.
You can go to ManhattanBeachChamber.com, ManhattanBeachChamber.com, ManhattanBeachChamber.com. You know that three impressions.
Wow.
So you go to ManhattanBeachChamber.com
for.
And at the very top of the page, you can click on it, and it'll take you right to our Eventbrite site. But under the promo code, if you put LA Talk, you will get a discounted ticket. And normally $55, you will get it for
$45. Ooh, boy.
And so by the way, that $45.
It's nothing, really.
Really, $55 is nothing.
Yeah,
right. You know, most of these places, if you go to the one that was done in Palos Verdes recently, you know, those are $75 to $100. But so this is all the beer, all the food, music from 2P to 6P at the Manhattan, at a very cool location, Manhattan Beach Studios. And
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow.
Let's go, Sam.
So Manhattan Beach Chamber.
Right? MBS Media Campus is what it says.
MBS Media Campus. It's just Manhattan Beach Studios. But
yeah, but that's
it's really easy to get to. A lot of parking there. But I wouldn't, you know, like I said, I would take some on-demand car service.
Manhattan Beach is not great with parking, right? Because, I mean, let me take it back. You have parking lots and stuff.
Yeah.
But
there's plenty of, if you do want to
at that event, I agree.
Not with
but all I can say is if you guys go there And in my experience, when you go down to the South Bay, take a bike with you and park somewhere a few streets down.
Right.
You know, right?
You know what? That's a great idea.
That's a life hack.
You put the bike on
park
your car.
Park at one of the metro places
and then
bike the race.
And bike the race, because otherwise it's like sometimes. So what I do now when I want to go to the Strand and ride the bike is I'll get there early and park on the street, you know, with the meters and stuff,
right,
you know,
right.
Which is more than fair and enough, I think, and all that. But so many people go to Manhattan Beach that there's always a problem.
Now,
you know?
You can park in El Segundo. They don't have meters. And then get on the Strand and then ride to Manhattan Beach.
That's awesome.
Wow, there's another idea.
And shop and spend all your money there, but then go back to
that's
El Segundo.
So smart.
No, let me ask you, because I know in El Segundo they have like Dockweiler and all that areas where you can have campfires. Mm-hmm. Do you have that in Manhattan Beach too?
No.
No fire on the beach?
No.
Wow. Okay, well, you keep the air
no fire,
clean.
No dogs.
But you know why it is, though? Because you guys are close to the houses, you know?
Yeah.
Over at Dockweiler, I mean, there's nothing.
Yeah.
It's the airport.
Yeah. I just fear something going into one of those. Yeah, it's too close.
Yeah, it's a lot of smoke and stuff. I can hear you. And this, but but let me ask you this. If people want to hang out on the beach in the evening, is it possible?
Yeah,
or?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Absolutely. I've fallen asleep on the beach many times.
Oh, that's awesome.
Wow. I call it falling asleep.
Yeah.
But the, no, absolutely.
That's
absolutely. At any time, it's fine to
go. You want to make sure that during those dusk times, though, when that light is, you know, the sun is rising, and you're lying there on the beach, that you're kind of either closer to the water or way back because
of the tides.
The grooming of the beach by the big tractors and stuff may not see you lying and just
if they're
right
gonna push you.
Right, be careful.
Exactly.
Yeah. So be careful.
You may end up in Redondo.
Yeah, make sure.
So.
But that's fine. That's easier to park and then just use the tractor to push you.
Well,
right.
So they have the tractor there to do what? Just to kind of clean.
Yeah, it just grooms the beach. You know,
it grooms it a little bit.
It grooms the beach. That's the most Manhattan beach thing I've ever heard.
Oh yeah.
Let me give you.
And then we have a plane fly over and perfumes the beach.
Yeah.
Really good, you know. That's really nice
with lilacs.
We do it right. We do it right.
Yeah,
you see, that's what I'm saying. That's the life. Because compare this to how it was when I grew up in Israel.
Aye.
They'd have tractors there to actually look for landmines.
Oi, oi, oi. There's the difference.
That's to protect us from going to the beach.
Which one of these is like the
right.
other one?
Exactly. So that's a whole different experience.
Wow.
And there you go.
Now,
you know,
I'm a historian at heart. I'd love to talk to you about that.
Really?
I'm not Jewish, but I read every book I could going back to the late 1800s and Zionists and the whole thing moving to
Israel.
I was just fascinated
Israel,
by the whole history of it.
No, I mean, it's amazing. And I've been reading this too because I'm reading the book The History of Hebrew.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting because it's really one of the most ancient languages out there. And, you know, it survived, you know. So, at any rate, it gives you a lot of history as well.
I just love it because when my Jewish friends say, when they look at me and they go, so, one book wasn't good enough?
Yeah. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Never good enough for you?
Yeah. What's going on?
What's good about you? It's my mother.
You
whenever
needed that second book?
Yeah, that's what my mother says. It's just like my mother. Oh, my God. My dad, by the way, was just appointed into the bar for the Supreme Court.
What?
Wow.
Yeah, he got sworn in today by the Chief Justice.
Look at you.
Very exciting. He got to have a breakfast and everything. He's very, very smart. I'm not as smart. That's why I went to comedy.
What do you mean you're not as smart? You're just younger.
I think to be a comedian, you've got to be so smart.
Yeah, you got to read the room.
You've
got
to be whip smart. Yeah. You've got to be
not only that, but she's on the radio. People know her. She can't pull this thing on everybody and say I'm not smart because everybody knows she is.
I want to try it sometime, stand up comedian, because I just feel like wow, that has got to be the bravest person in the world to stand up in front of an audience because you're really totally naked. I mean, you don't have a script.
You're telling jokes to strangers.
You can't go cut. Let's reshoot that.
Right.
You know. it's just telling jokes to a stranger, hoping that they like your humor that you think was funny.
Yeah. And Sam and
she
Casey,
did
they came to see me, and it's funny because the audience was a little bit tight, meaning like they weren't laughing that hard. You can really get a roar, or they weren't. So I was closing the Comedy Store, and I come out, and I was like, I just go, I'm sick of you motherfuckers not laughing. And I just wanted to let them know that, like, get over yourself, move on. It's funny because it's the most nervous I ever will be right before. But then when I'm on stage, it's like the happiest I am.
Well, you have it you have it down.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so what is it, 10 minutes, 5 minutes?
It was 10 minutes.
10 minutes. And so you have 10 minutes, and it's all like you've got
perfect.
It. So what's your brand of humor?
Very observational.
Observational.
Yeah, yeah, very like Ellen and Jerry Seinfeld. Like,
I did well, let me tell you, this was hilarious. You should maybe do it next year because I think we want to keep this. We do a business leaders summit. We just did one. Gil Garcetti was my keynote, and Wanda Austin, who's the former CEO of Aerospace, was my closing keynote. And then we have these workshops and all that stuff in the beginning or throughout the day, help businesses, you know, learning how to network better and all that stuff. But at lunch, I had a stand-up comedian.
Yeah, why not?
I had a stand-up comedian. Ice. And let me tell you, it was great.
Yeah.
And the comment cards, bring back the comedian.
Yeah.
I could care less about networking, but I want that comedian at lunch.
You got to break the ice, you know?
No, but she really killed. I mean, and you were the last person. I think you wrapped it up nicely.
Yeah, thank you
very much. And, yeah, no, I mean, you did great.
Thank you.
It was
it takes a certain person, though, that wants to do that.
Yeah. Right.
That's a little bit crazy.
Hey, yeah, I do have, by the way.
But we started all this by talking about your dad.
Yeah. Back to him.
Yeah. So yeah. Let's just congratulate.
So once again, congratulations.
Think it's all about me.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, Jerry, good job, buddy.
But I'm willing to bet you're going to end up something like that too one day.
He said it was.
You're too passionate about politics not to get into it.
I know. He said it was a bucket list item, and then he goes, "Have you been to the Supreme Court?" And I go, "Oh yeah, I had an interview with Ruth Bader Ginsburg." He was like, "Tori, you suck," because my school where I went was right in D.C. And if we had an interview, like I did a paper on Iran-Contra, and I interviewed on the phone Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North.
You did?
Oh my
like
gosh.
This is the type of background.
Yeah.
I was a freshman in high school,
and
I'm Lieutenant Colonel, I have a question. Did the president give you permission?
And like, wow.
And what did he say?
He was like, "I had every expectation that the president would give me his permission." I was like, "But that's not
permission."
So I assumed.
Yeah. I said that to my executive board last week and got my head handed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I assumed.
I assumed you guys would be going with that.
Yeah. No.
Whatever,
But it's not every day where like that's who your prime source is.
Ollie North.
Wow. So very strange.
Yeah.
Nice.
But I grew up in that thinking that's what everyone did. Thinking like if you had a report on a senator, you go meet with the senator.
Yeah. That's not where I grew up.
No. My husband grew up in Chicago.
And the question in ours, do you have a gun rack in the back of your pickup? that's what we got. You know, he's going, "Hey, send the tractor out." Not my tractor, but somebody's tractor.
The landmine tractor.
Out those linemen.
I'm protesting the NRA. Yeah. You guys are like, "Where's my gun rack?"
That was a newbie job in Israel. You know, okay, send the new guy out with the tractor.
That's a tough job, man.
Exactly.
Tough job.
No, but they knew what they were doing.
Of course.
But at any rate, Manhattan Beach folks, Chamber of Commerce will help you get your business. So are you guys like actively bringing in businesses into the city?
Oh, yeah. We sign up. We try to do that. There's not a whole lot of open space.
Right. That's what I was going to
say. 3.6 square miles. But what we're trying to do is lift some of the areas there to create their own identity. For instance, in North Manhattan, otherwise known as El Porto to the locals and all that, we did an art walk this past weekend, which was fantastic. Because what I'm discovering, what I know, and what we all know, but it's sometimes to drive that point home, you have to show them, is art will lift an area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you can create an arts district in an area, if you don't mind that
everything
happening,
will go up.
Unless you're Boyle Heights, and then, of course, you don't want any lifting.
Yep.
The North End, I mean, I think they discovered that if we created an arts district in the North End, how cool would that be? We get that at the Chamber all the time. Visitors coming to town, tourists, and they're saying, you know, "So where's your art district? Where are your galleries?" You know, because they assume
it's
Manhattan
important.
Beach that
you'll have
you got this stuff.
It's a cosmopolitan city.
Yeah.
Town. Yeah.
We're a high-end town. You figure, where's your art gallery? Well, we got one down there, a couple down there. But so if we can lift this up, also it's trying to define yourself against our iconic pier downtown area. You know, if you're
separate
the North End,
yeah.
You separate themselves and
right.
Something different. We also have two other events coming up. I wanted to
let
your listeners in on
2 minutes. Yes,
2 minutes.
Yes.
Okay, good. I want to use every bit of it. We have two family nights, movie nights coming up where we have them out on the golf greens, the Marriott Hotel there in Manhattan Beach. It's September 9th. We'll be showing Mean Girls. Perfect for you.
I love that movie.
Adam's Family on October 14th. And this is great date night. It's going to be fun food, booths of food, food trucks, the whole bit.
That's awesome.
And you wine, the whole thing, you know. And you come out on the greens and you watch this really wonderful movie.
Wow.
That's awesome.
There you go. So don't say there's nothing to do in Southern California.
Yes, amen.
Plenty to do.
End up in Manhattan Beach, folks.
Yep.
Mark Lips, thank you so much. Let's promote The Bite at the Beach again.
Saturday,
August 12th. It's 2 to 6 p.m. at the Manhattan Beach. What is the...
Go to Manhattan Beach Chamber.
Studios.
Manhattan Beach Studios, but go to ManhattanBeachChamber.com.
Yes.
And you'll see the link at the top of the page. You'll see the
banner.
The banner, and you just click on, you double click on that, and it'll take you...
And remember, LA Talk.
LA Talk.
There you go.
You get a discount.
You get to become a VIP.
Right.
Let's not use the word discount.
So it's
VIP.
That's
VIP.
Better.
So it's definitely a destination on a weekend.
Mm-hmm. If somebody let's go, doesn't Sam. We got to go. Do.
Enough of going to the Long Beach Aquarium and all that stuff. And Disneyland.
Fish?
Yeah, forget about that. No. You know, go to...
Go have a few beers, then go to the aquarium and make faces.
That's exactly... I was like, I can do the beer first and then go. Exactly.
So...
Mark Lips, thank you so much for joining us. All the best
pleasure.
To you.
You guys are great.
And so if people want to get a hold of you, like personally, not for personal reasons, but if they want to ask you questions, can they get to you through the website or do you have your own social media?
No, they can get through the website or mark@ManhattanBeachChamber.net. That's the problem. But go to the website. All of our contact information is on there. If you're interested in being a sponsor of these events or you want to join the chamber or you want to reach out to one of us or me and complain about the Vista del Mar traffic or lack of, you know, that's fine.
I know. Well, I'm going to, Well, the traffic is sometimes bad there, but not all the time, right? Or all the time, I guess,
It's a favorite
everybody
location.
Everybody goes there. That's true. Well, but at any rate, Manhattan Beach, thank you so much, Mark Lips. For joining us.
And thank you for having us here.
Absolutely.
Of course, absolutely. Thank you. And that's it, Tori. I guess until tomorrow.
Until tomorrow.
Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you then.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.